reading is from Matthew chapter 19 from the Message. One day the Pharisees were badgering him. Is it legal for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? He answered, haven't you read in your Bible that the Creator originally made man and woman for each other, male and female? And because of this, a man leaves father and mother is firmly bonded to his A man leaves father and mother and is firmly bonded to his wife, becoming one flesh. No longer two bodies, but one. Because God created this organic union of the two sexes, no one should desecrate his art by cutting them apart. Jesus' disciples objected. If those are the terms of marriage, we're stuck. Why get married? But Jesus said, not everyone is mature enough to live a married life. It requires a certain aptitude and grace. Marriage isn't for everyone. Some, from birth, seemingly never give marriage a thought. Others never get asked or accepted. And some decide not to get married for kingdom reasons. But if you're capable of growing into the largeness of marriage, do it.
This is week 3 of our Fireproof series, and tonight we are going to talk a little bit about marriage, okay? And we're going to expand that quite a bit. I've tried hard not to because I know not all of us here are married. And I don't want to spend a lot of time, you know, just kind of talking about stuff that doesn't pertain to you right now. Although there's some things that I think if you listen to and remember later on will be very, very useful for you. But more importantly, there are greater ideas when we talk about marriage that just relate to how we relate to one another, whether it's in a marriage relationship, in our friend relationships, or even in relationships with people we don't know very well. Some of the same principles apply, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. So, does anybody have a favorite wedding memory that you want to share? Did you actually talk about it? Yes, Wendy. Yeah, absolutely. You don't see that one very often, but that's when the foot washing is one of those things that's in the wedding ceremonies, but it's very seldom done. Yeah, we see it like as one of the options in things, but it is very rarely done, especially with the long dress. It's not the easiest thing to do. Yeah, for some reason they can do that at the reception, but during the ceremony, nobody wants to do that. anybody else with a favorite? And it can be funny, it can be whatever, sweet.
My brother-in-law just recently got married, and his bride, Lori, was 45 and never married. And it was a beautiful wedding in an old church downtown Charleston, and then we had the reception out on one of the rivers. And at the end of the day, she was just glowing. She said, this has been a perfect day.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? Someone? No? Quiet? My favorite, I was telling the group up here, the one that immediately comes to my mind is the very first wedding that I performed, and the best man forgot the rings, and the bride would not walk down the aisle until the rings were in the room, and he was only 15 minutes away, but round trip, it's half an hour. And so I had to make that dreaded thing you always see on TV where the pastor walks out and goes, we're not having the wedding right now, you know. This is my first wedding as a pastor, you know, to come out and do that. And so that my organist's hands didn't cramp, I said, you know, take a break. Everybody chat. We'll let you know when we're ready to get started. And that was a great way to start. One of the really nice things about that, though, was the first anniversary of their wedding. They came back. It was a Monday or a Friday. They came back and asked me to bless the rings for them again because it became such an important part of the wedding ceremony. One of the things we always joke about when I do wedding counseling is the very thing that you think destroyed your wedding is what you're going to remember. You know, sometimes when the things that go like forgetting the rings, that I'll bet that couple, you know, some 15, 18 years later is still talking about that moment as a part of their life together. Any others? This is just fun. Yeah. Okay. Oh my goodness, the bride? Yeah. Yeah. Like, do you? Yes. Do you? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Very eventful. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very good. So weddings are wonderful, and we want them to be perfect, but seldom are they. But those things, again, the things that are different, like even the foot washing, it's a little bit different. And so it's the thing that we remember, the thing that we bring away with us. Let's pray together, and then we're going to watch a video clip. Let's pray. Gracious God, we just thank you so much for this celebration that we have tonight, to celebrate the love that we share between husband and wife, but also the love that we share with all of those that we come into contact with each and every day. God, open our ears, open our hearts, and open our spirits that we might be receptive to your word spoken to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you that haven't seen the movie Fireproof, we're going to watch a brief clip. Caleb is the guy in the movie. He's the main character. He's married to Catherine, and their marriage is in a lot of trouble, and they are contemplating divorce. And this is a scene between Caleb, who is a fire chief, and his second-in-command, Michael. And Michael is the guy whose marriage Caleb wants. He sees Michael and his wife together, and Caleb, I think, is a little bit jealous of that marriage and looks to it as the ideal. And so these two get together and talk about what it means to be married. We ready? Awesome. Maybe.
Honey, I agree with you. You got to get out.
No,
he don't
three.
Deserve you.
You can say that.
That's
again.
That's number one.
A real man's...
That's a good... Good clip, but not the right one. And that's okay.
Man's got to be a hero to his wife.
That still won. Yeah, love for a lifetime, number three.
"40 days.
Catherine, no.
I'm not going to tell her. If she wants to go ahead and file, that's up to her.
Divorce is a hard thing, man.
Well, if it brings peace.
But Caleb, you want the right kind of peace.
What do you mean by that?
Do you know what that ring on your finger means?
It means I'm married.
Yeah, well, it also means you made a lifelong covenant. You were putting on that ring while saying your vows. The sad part about it is, when most people promise for better or for worse, they really only mean for the better.
Catherine and I were in love when we got married, but today, we're two very different people, all right? It's just not working out anymore.
Caleb, salt and pepper are completely different. Their makeup is different, their taste and their color. But you always see them together. And when you... Hold on just a second.
What are you doing? Michael. Hey. What'd you do that for?
Caleb, when two people get married, it's for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health.
I know that, but marriages aren't fireproof. Sometimes you get burned.
Fireproof doesn't mean that a fire will never come, but that when it comes, you'll be able to withstand it.
You didn't have to glue them together.
Don't do it, Caleb. If you pull them apart now, you'll break either one or both of them.
I am not a perfect person, but better than most. And if my marriage is failing, it is not all my fault.
But Caleb, man, I've seen you run into a burning building and save people you don't even know. But you're gonna let your own marriage just burn to the ground.
Michael, you are my friend. And I've allowed you to speak freely with me on this job. Don't abuse it.
I like the salt and pepper illustration a whole lot. I really do. I'd love to use it in wedding ceremonies, but it's kind of ugly and kind of messy to get out the crazy glue and glue salt and pepper shakers together. We do similar things in wedding ceremonies often. Weddings I do, we do unity candles almost all the time, where there's two individual candles on the outside and one big one in the middle. The outside ones have been lit usually by a representative from the family, signifying that these two people coming together had lives before they met one another. And then they, soon after receiving or exchanging vows, they each come up and grab one of those candles. And together, they light the center candle, signifying their lives coming together into one. It's one life now that they bring and bond together. I like that symbol a lot. I recently did a wedding, as many of you know, over the summer I did a wedding in Mexico on the beach. And I'm now an international pastor. It's pretty cool. I did one on the beach in Mexico. And so instead of a unity candle, they did a sand ceremony. And that was my first time ever with the sand ceremony, where there were two vials of sand of different colors. And when they got to the place in the service, soon after exchanging the vows, they came and took a vial of sand and poured it into one bigger container. And the sand was brought together as one. And, you know, it's pretty difficult to separate all the grains of sand into where they came from. I just heard about one in a wedding that we're preparing to do, where they told us that they had heard of couples doing it with wine, and two different wines are brought together and poured together into one, and then that becomes the communion wine that they share in the wedding. There's something about that one I really like too. They just kind of brings these things together. But I want to tell you what I really like about the salt and pepper shakers. Again, I don't think any bride's going to let me do this, but what I like about the salt and pepper shakers is twofold. They're different. I like when Michael says, salt and pepper, you always see them together, but they're not even close to the same thing. They look different, they taste different, they come from different places, and yet we always assume that they're together. And once he glues them together, and he says, you know, if you try and take them apart, you're going to break at least one of them. One or both of them is going to get broken. You know, the thing we don't say in the unity candle ceremony is, you can't just put out your half of the flame. But that's what it is. In order to put out your half of the flame, the whole thing goes out. Same with the wine ceremony or the sand ceremony. In order to get them apart or to make them go away, you really can't just take away half of it. The whole thing goes. And people are hurt. Jesus, in this scripture lesson that Martha read for us, quotes Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. He says, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Like a salt and pepper shaker, crazy glued together. There's this mystical union that happens in marriage. We talk about this. I talk about this with couples, and they bring babies to be baptized. You know, there's part of a baptism I really understand, and there's another part of a baptism I don't get. You know, on the one hand, there's this contract that's built between the church and the family. And the church says, we will provide Christian nurture to this child. And the family says, we're going to do the same thing. And this covenant is built. The other side of it is, there's this holy God thing that goes on. And something happens spiritually to the child. And you know what? Before the baptism, the kid screams in church. And after the baptism, the kid screams in church. You know, but something happens that makes it different. And I can't explain that. And the same thing is true in marriage. On the one hand, I get it. You know, now we can buy a house together. You know, we're legally one. There's a contract that's built when we get together. That part I get. I sign the license and we send it off. And then there's the God thing. And there's something there that happens when we get married that brings us together as one flesh. And so at some point in the marriage ceremony, we quote Matthew 19:6, again from this passage of Scripture, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." And I really like the way the Message does that same verse. Listen to this. "Because God created this organic union of the two sexes, no one should desecrate his art by cutting them apart." Kind of the crazy glue thing, you know? If God put them together, let's not try and take it apart. Okay, now is where I back up and go to all the students and singles, and before I lose you completely and give you a piece. This isn't meant for you, okay? Marriage and dating are two different things. I've been a youth pastor for a long time, and one of the things I've learned is I think that sometimes youth, we take dating way too seriously. I've been with girls in my office who are being emotionally and sometimes physically abused by their boyfriends, and they don't want to break up with them because that's bad. I'm like, and I've had guys come to me and just tell me, this is too much work. High school students. You know what my answer is? It's very pious and religious. Break up. If you're not having fun anymore. You know, it's when you're dating, it's not marriage. You haven't been mystically united as one. It's okay at this point to just go, you know what? This ain't fun anymore, and I'm out of here. I think there's something to that, and sometimes we take dating far too seriously. Maybe we've seen too many soap operas and think it's fun. I don't know. But we take it too seriously at times. But the flip side is true too, and I want to back it up a little bit, is that Jesus, as we come to this discussion about marriage, he does kind of say, you know what, when you're married, you can't do that. You can't just walk away. You can't walk away the way you can when you break up, when you're dating. There's two different sets of rules. There's no clean break. Like Michael says, you can't pull the salt and pepper shakers apart without breaking one or both of them. And those of you that have experienced divorce, you can attest to that. Now, I also want to give another warning. These verses of Scripture have been thoroughly abused by people for a very long time, I think. I made this term this week. I think I made it up. It's called Christian bullying. And I think there are times when we become Christian bullies, not we, but sometimes the church. And it's so easy for people who are happily married to take the Bible and go, you shouldn't get divorced because Jesus says so. You know, it kind of reminds me of that. Have you ever seen the movie Saved, where the girl gets so frustrated with her friend and she says, Jesus loves you, and throws a Bible at her? You know? And sometimes I think we can fall into that. We might not throw the Bible, but we can get into that place where we can, this applies to you. Not to me, but this applies to you, right? And you shouldn't do this, and you should be this. And I think that passage of Scripture has been thoroughly abused. I want to bring it into context just a little bit, and if I bore you with this, I really want to apologize, but I need to bring it here just for a moment. When these Pharisees and the Sadducees come to Jesus and say, is it okay to get divorced? You need to hear what they're referring to. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, and we talked about this verse back when we were talking about Mary and Joseph. It says this, if a man marries a woman and then it happens that he no longer likes her because he's found something wrong with her, he may give her divorce papers, put them in her hand, and send her off. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's the divorce he's talking about. He's talking about somebody just going, you know what? I think I can do better. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. It's about this cavalier attitude towards divorce where it's so easy that you can just say, and notice that's all. It doesn't say the women can do that to the men. Like, hey, dude, I don't like you anymore. I'm out of here. No. I mean, the way it was set up in those times was just simply that a man could say to the woman, there's something about you I don't like anymore. Give her a piece of paper and send her on her way. And in the culture that we're dealing with, that's life devastating. I mean, there's no easy way to make a living as a single woman in the first century. And so you're talking about putting somebody in a very, very bad place financially, sociologically. That's the divorce Jesus is talking about. To me, it's like what those two guys are talking about. You know, well, let's just pull the salt shakers apart, we'll go our separate ways, and we're done. And Jesus says, no. You see, I think there are times when marriages need to come to an end, and I'm being careful here, but I think there are times when marriages need to come to an end, and that is when somebody's being abused. You know, emotionally, physically, especially physically, we need to get away from those relationships, and we understand that. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not saying stick around while you're getting beat up. I mean, that's just not where we are here, okay? But Jesus is saying, guys, you can't take it this cavalierly. You've been brought together. You've been brought together, and if your marriage is good and strong and you just want to say, you know what, I'm done, Jesus says, no, you can't do that. You can't do that without hurting one or both of you. There is no walking away cleanly. Okay, back to the people that aren't married. I'm going to try and keep doing this so we don't lose anybody for too long. Okay? I love my wife, Diane. Just does this wonderful thing with our kids. She got this advice from her aunt when she was young, and her aunt told her that she should marry a best friend. She should marry somebody that she could be friends with. And the reason was is because she says everything else goes away. This is a real positive, but but some of it's really very much true. I mean, you know, we want to go out with people that are like hot, you know, good looking and all that stuff. We want to marry that, but hotness goes away, you know? I mean, there aren't a lot of hot 70-year-olds, you know? If we want to be married forever, that's a temporary thing. Money is fragile. The security that we think we're going to get, boy, that's all too fragile. And what's going to be there? What's going to stick around? If all that stuff goes away, what's going to stick around? The fact that you actually care about each other, that you like each other, that you can have a conversation together, that you're generous to one another, that you listen to one another, those are the things that matter. Those are the things that stick around. And so when Diane's aunt said, marry a friend, that's what she meant. Marry somebody that when you're old and all the temporary stuff is gone, you still have a relationship with. There's a broader principle at work here, and it's this. We as human beings are connected. I think Jesus over and over again tells us that we are connected. The idea of a self-made human being is baloney in Jesus' eyes. We are all brought together. My actions affect the actions of the people around me. You know, think about this. To me, what came to my mind was the economy, the stuff we're going through right now. You know, that auto plant shuts down in Detroit. It's not that long before it hits Colorado because that worker doesn't have any money to spend. And so the places where they used to spend money, those people get laid off and they don't have money to spend. And the places they went shopping, they need to do that in pretty soon. Detroit is in Colorado. And what happened out there happens here. And there is that connectedness that goes on in our actions all the time. Take it even greater than that. And we celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day this week. And this quote just came to mind. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. He wrote that from the letter from Birmingham Jail. We're all connected. We're all connected. Whatever's going on, even though it's far away and it doesn't look like it affects us, yeah, it does. Like the marriage, that we can't hurt others without it hurting us. So too it is in a grander scale. Diane and I have been doing the Love Dare. It's that book that came for the 40 days that you do, and that supposedly this is what the movie is about, is that Caleb, the husband, is going through the Love Dare and trying to win Catherine back. At least that's how he starts. He starts trying to win her back, and then he realizes what it's doing for him. And I encourage you to take a shot at it. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to think about your marriage and just kind of think about your partner in a new and a different way. And just, actually, it's not new and different. It's just a reminder of the way it had been for so long. But I'm going to share with you from day 11. In day 11, the text for the day is Ephesians 5:28, which says this: in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. And he's getting back to that two becoming one flesh idea. And I wanted to share this with you from the Love Dare. And the quote I have is a little bit longer than what's on the screen. He wrote this on page 52. There's a flip side to this coin. When you mistreat your mate, you're also mistreating yourself. Think about it. Your lives are now interwoven together. Your spouse cannot experience joy or pain, blessing or cursing, without it also affecting you. So when you attack your mate, it's like you're attacking yourself. That just hit me. About the way I relate to my wife is the way I think of myself. And I think about how many times when things aren't going well in my relationship, what's the issue? Sometimes I'm not feeling good about myself. And lashing out is really, in essence, attacking me. And I think I know it sometimes, that it's just that way. But let's go broader. I know this isn't apples to apples with marriage, but it goes in our world that we're in as well. I mean, we can't go about talking badly about our employer without it eventually coming around and affecting us. We can't walk the halls at school talking about that other group of people that we don't like without it eventually affecting us. We can't verbally assault our children without it affecting us. And even broader, When we let people in other countries go without basic necessities like water and food and health care and dignity, it will eventually affect us. None of us lives in a vacuum. We are all connected. Married folks, I hope you hear that in your marriage, that strong connection that's there. And those of us that aren't married, and all of us actually, I hope we recognize the connections that happen in our lives every day, in our sphere of influence of the people around us, and how it's not just an attack on them, but it also comes back on us. The crux of all this is love isn't all Valentine's Day greeting cards. And it's not all the kiss at the end of the movie or wedding days and first dates. And you know what? Praise be to God. It's better than that. It really is better than that. When we make the choice to be with the one that we have been joined together with, it's a covenant, a deal, and at times it's a decision. I want to share with you really quickly just the vows that are in the United Methodist wedding ceremony. It says this: in the name of God, I, one of you, take you, the other one, to be my wife or husband, whichever is appropriate, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. And then that last part gets me. This is my solemn vow. It's also like, I do as long as I feel it. No, I promise this. I promise this from now and forever. And at times, it's a choice. It's a decision we make to continue, to move on. A connection that binds us together in all of our relationships, but especially in our marriage relationships. May we be reminded that what we do to those around us affects us and speaks about who we are, and that God shares his love in our hearts so that we can share it with the people around us. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you so much for tonight and for the ways in which you share so much, for give so much to us and the gifts of one another and the love that we feel and the love that we share with our husband and wife, with friends and family, and sometimes with people we don't even know all that well, who lift us up, who encourage us. God, just thank you so much for the love that you shower upon us through the people you put in our lives. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the weekly challenge every week, and this one is kind of marriage specific, but not all. So I have these cards for you, because the first one is discuss your vows together. And some of you are thinking, like, I have no idea what I promised. On the back is our vows that we use in the United Methodist Church. And so you have at least what is suggested that we promise to one another. I don't know if any of you wrote vows or what you did, but most of us probably used not these, but something similar. I think these came in about 85 for the United Methodist Church. But just to discuss your vows together, and so take one of the cards and I'll pass them around. And then the other one for all of us is, how can we better be loving people to the people around us every day, and then to think really big? How can we be people of justice in the world around us, so that if there is injustice anywhere, we know it's a threat to justice everywhere? And actually, Dr. King's quote's on here. Dr. King's one of my personal heroes, so he comes up all the time in my conversation. So I want you to take these, and I'll just, you guys mind starting them? I'll just pass them around. All right, let's sing.